It's National Addiction Awareness Week starting today. I'm talking to Marnie Proctor today from Community and Addiction Services of Niagara about the importance of Addiction Awareness Week and the work that CASN does with the people with substance use disorder and addiction. Hi, Marnie. How are you today?
Hi, Janice. I'm doing good. How are you?
It's really great to talk to you again. We're going to talk about CASN services a little further down, but I think of you as kind of the little bit of a hidden agency that does so many things. That
yes.
It's, you know, we'll talk about it, but I think we're only going to get on the tip of the iceberg when we talk about CASN services. But today is the first day of National Addiction Awareness Week.
That's
and
right.
can you just tell me what the focus is this year?
Sure. So National Addiction Awareness Week is an initiative that's led through the Canadian Center on Substance Use and Addiction. This year's theme is Inspiration, Innovation, Inclusion.
Okay, and it starts today.
Yes.
And runs until the 25th.
That's right.
And the big thing every year for National Addiction Awareness Week, obviously the word awareness, is mm-hmm. to bring forward some, and I know that the Canadian Substance Use organization really looks a lot at statistics.
Yes.
But there's also, in looking at those statistics, there are some that we maybe don't talk about very much. And one of those is the cost.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So the total cost is nearly $50 billion in 2020.
That's right. Yeah. And I can only imagine that that's gone up since then.
Yes, because that was the beginning of COVID. And we know that COVID caused a lot more, substance use went up.
Yes.
Significantly. And obviously, you know, going with that were mental health issues, but mental health issues in general for people who are often, a lot of people hadn't even experienced them before. But people who had existing mental health issues were really, really hit with that. So, and I have seen that it looks like the numbers on opioid deaths in Niagara, which are, you know, quite high based on even the provincial averages, have gone down a touch. But to go just back a little bit to the cost of substance use and addiction, lost productivity is almost half of the cost. So we're not talking, again, we're not talking about people who are homeless, living on the street, substance users. We're talking about people with jobs who probably have homes.
Yes, correct. That's right. Yeah, there's a lot of productivity lost as well. And that is always factored into that number as well as, you know, when mental health. But there's rarely a time where you see much addiction issues without the mental health piece involved.
Yeah. And then again, if we break down the costs, healthcare is the largest cost, but criminal justice is right below that. And then other direct costs are, you know, well, when I say low, it's only $3.3 billion. But it is something that we really have to look like, because I think it really highlights where we are in terms of substance use and addiction in Canadian society today and in Niagara specifically.
And I think that's the thing around the awareness with National Addiction Awareness Week is if we can make more people aware, if we can focus more on prevention and treatment, we can get some of those numbers down.
The direction for this year is inspiration, innovation, and inclusion. And I think what you just talked about in part was matches with that. And I think, and this is just me, and I'm, you know, I'm sort of an outsider from working with substance use and addiction, but I think inclusion, the word inclusion, is one of the most important things that we have to look at. But we often want to, I think, push away people, especially people who are substance users or who have addiction.
Yes.
We often tend to want to push those people away. But how do we, again, as a society, how would we sort of embrace
Yeah.
people with substance use, because otherwise we're never going to help them.
Definitely one of the areas that we are looking at, and the inclusion piece is so important. Breaking down the stigma is so important. That's one, something that's really high on our priority list at CASN, is to make sure that everyone is getting good, fair treatment. And yeah, I think it's one of the most important things is the inclusion piece. We're trying to deliver services that are culturally safe for people, where we have a better understanding of what is, you know, maybe in their culture as far as addictions go, and so that we can better treat them. We're trying to educate our counselors more on culturally safe treatment. So anything we can do to include and break down that stigma. And I think it really, a lot of it lies with, we have to get out there to the folks who have the addictions and talk to them and find out what they need.
When you say cultural differences, what do you mean by that?
So in some cultures, it could be a restriction for finding outside help outside the family. It could be some cultures have different medicines that they may incorporate that that the family is that want they the family wants to utilize, as opposed to counseling and that kind of thing. So we would want to respect all of that when somebody comes into CASN. We would want to, if they're open to it, get some information about their culture and try to encourage folks who have been, you know, feel like they can't reach out to CASN because we're going to steer their recovery. We want everyone to know that we work based on harm reduction, and they are in control of their treatment from the beginning. And we aren't going to tell them what they have to do. So we can definitely incorporate different aspects about their culture in there to make sure that they know that they can come to us and feel safe.
Yeah, and I think that that's you work with a lot of organizations across Niagara, whether it's and we can talk about positive living in terms of getting out to where people are, but then as well in, again, if we go back to homes, those are sort of health organizations that you might work with, who might be dealing with someone who's living in their home, or they're experiencing a mental health or substance use crisis.
Mm-hmm.
This is an area where CASN sort of, you know, when it comes to addiction services, you're the center, and then
yes,
sort of like the spokes of the wheel that come out from that. So what organizations do you work with when we, you know, we talk about culturally sensitive? What other organizations do you work with, and what sort of demographic? Is there a specific demographic that's out there that's more prevalent?
Oh, the first thing that comes to mind is we do have a full-time Indigenous counselor who's in the Fort Erie Friendship Center and also in the Niagara Region Native Center. So he's delivering services in the way that they need to receive services. I think, he would probably be the best representation of how we are doing that. We also bilingual services. We do our best to offer bilingual services. So doing what we can.
Okay, let's talk about services.
Okay.
Again, I kind of said at the beginning, CASN is there almost underneath the radar a bit because it's not really well known.
Right.
And I think that people, because you offer different services that to different groups, that people need to understand the kind of help that you offer. You offer, if we could go just briefly through the programs and services, community treatment.
Right. Yes,
can you
we do.
Tell
That's
me about that.
We actually have four different branches of treatment we offer. So community treatment is just, as it says, treatment out in the community. So that can involve individual counseling, group counseling. We have satellite offices that spread throughout the region, and over 50 counselors in total now for CASN. So relatively large base that we can draw from. We have satellites in Welland, Niagara Falls, Smithville, Fort Erie, Port Coburn, you know, quite a few of them. And they're all on our website. We do partner with many different agencies like Positive Living. We have a CASN counselor that goes out in the street works van once a week. We do a smart recovery program, which would be similar to going to an AA meeting, but it's run by the counselors, and it doesn't have the higher power, if that could be a deterrent for some people. We offer DBT, both youth and adult DBT. I think we are the first in the region and may still be the only ones that have youth-specific DBT. If you're looking at intensive programs, we have our early treatment, day treatment program. So that would be 30 days coming to our office in downtown St. Catharines. You're there all day, Monday to Friday, and you're learning new life skills. You're learning coping skills, CBT, DBT. So it's really, you know, it's like going to residential treatment, only you go home on nights and weekends. So we've been doing that for many years and had great success with that program. We also have our ASH program. So that is an addictive supporting housing program where we have about 40 people in the Niagara region living in ASH houses where they have a counselor designated to them that they can reach just about any time of day. So, and they live in houses that we have throughout the region. So we have that constant contact with them and are able to help them with that. It's intended to be for the first year of sobriety. So this is one of our exceptions to our harm reduction programs in that you do have to be, it is a sober program because you're living in a house sometimes with other people. So we have a lot of outreach that we do. So that's when we partner up quite a bit, like with Start Me Up Niagara, with the CTS site. We go into the shelters. So really trying to bring services to folks who wouldn't necessarily come into CASN. As far as addiction partners, we work with the Detox Center and Safe Beds. So we have counselors.
So that's at Canadian Mental Health Association.
Yes.
Location on Welland Avenue.
That's right. Yes. And then we have very extensive youth services. So we also have a youth addictions housing that we have had for about a year now where we have 4 beds. So anyone under male identifying 25 and under can come and stay in the house. And same thing, we have a counselor that's there most of the time. So they have that interaction right at their reach. We also have a counselor that goes into Brock. We have school-based programs. So we're in just about every secondary school in the region. And a lot of people don't know that. So I go in and do presentations from grade 5 and up, but we also have counselors in every secondary school. So not every day, all day, but anyone in a secondary school can book an appointment with a CASN counselor and do it right during school time. We have also family supports, and you know, this is near and dear to my heart, having someone in my family close to me with addiction issues. We have our own path of recovery when setting boundaries and all of that, and it can get very confusing and very messy and very heartbreaking. And that's why we have the family program, which was one of my first introductions to CASN many years ago, was learning about the family program. So the person with the addiction never needs to come into CASN for a family member to get help. And family we define as anybody you care about, does not have to be blood. So then we have many other programs as well, like our early intervention. Let me think. Health promotion. So that would be what I do. Back on track. So that's something else that we offer for folks who have been charged with impaired driving to get their license back. They have to do the back on track program. And health promotion. So that covers quite a few of the different services we do. All the services that we have are on our website at casn.ca. So anyone can go check them out there as well.
Just an outline of the services that you do is, it's quite overwhelming.
There's over 25. We provide a lot of services in the community.
Yeah. Tell me, okay, so I just, and you talked about DBT and CBT. So that's dialectic behavioral therapy and cognitive behavioral therapy. So
that's right.
That's a whole different conversation. So people who want to know about that service that is offered by CASN can go to casn.ca and find out about that. I'm interested in your residential treatment programs because I haven't really spoken to anybody else who has a residential treatment program. Pathstone does have Rotary House, but mm-hmm. I'm not sure that there are other residential treatment programs in Niagara. And it's something I hear a lot about from people now? Why aren't we providing live-in treatment places? Some people are even talking now about having, you know, a facility, a larger facility for residential treatment. But it seems in many ways that residential treatment would be very effective.
Yes, we do have quite a lot of success with that program, for sure, because it is so intensive. I mean, you just have a counselor whenever you need one. They're at the house all the time. They're always dropping in. They can do pretty much anything that you need, and do the counseling as well, right? So if it's going to a doctor's appointment and you can't get there or something, you know, it's so intensive for the first year of treatment. It's so important. It's not just about putting a roof over their head. It's about making sure that they have those constant supports. We can put them in touch with other agencies as the need arises and things come up in conversation, and get a really sturdy base. And then we help them with finding suitable housing after that.
Yeah, I think that's one of the most important things when you say suitable housing after that. That, again, is often, you know, like, again, the deal breaker is sort of a weird word maybe to use, phrase to use for this. But I've talked to mental health agencies who say, you know, you go to treatment or say, for example, one of the hospitals, NHS, but because they can't provide inpatient, for example, for every person who comes in, a lot of people come out of hospital or come out of the emergency room and they have nowhere to go. They go back into crisis and then they go back to the hospital, and that's life for them. It's crisis to crisis to crisis. And so the idea that you help with housing is huge, because housing, I think, is the first critical part of recovery once you leave residential or any of your other programs, because I'm assuming that other people with homeless, you know, with housing issues are also part of your programs, because people go to programs when they're desperate. That's when it happens.
That's right. They always come to us with a story, right? Something's happened. It's probably led them to us. Housing is, you know, a basic need, and we need to make sure those basic needs are met before somebody can start on the path to recovery.
Do you find that there's always a mental health, if somebody comes in with substance use, that there's always a mental health element there? Because that's another thing where, you know, it used to be you can't get mental health services. I'm talking years ago. You can't get mental health services until you stop using substances. Mm-hmm. But maybe you're using substances because you have a mental health issue. Right. Do you find that they are generally paired for people who come in to see you, and they've got that concurrent disorder?
Definitely not always, but a good percentage of the time, there's a mental health condition that has led them into addiction, or they've become addicted, and that's caused mental health issues for them, whether it's depression, anxiety, you know, so many different things that it could be.
When we think of addiction, the mind obviously jumps immediately to substances.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't only work with people with a substance use.
No, in fact, the largest amount of clients, I would say, come to us with issues with alcohol. Alcohol and marijuana are probably the two highest ones that we treat.
No, and I saw on your website you separate those two things, and I'm curious why alcohol would not be considered a substance, because some people consider, you know, going home and having a drink, people have said to me, well, that's substance use.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that could come back to, we used to be the alcohol treatment center. So we only treated alcohol, and then we added substances in. So I think that was when we started to, I think that's when we separated them, was when we actually formed together.
What's the difference in treatment? I mean, when we think of alcohol counseling, and you talked a little bit before, you sort of alluded to peer-to-peer.
Mm-hmm.
When we think of alcohol, we automatically think of Alcoholics Anonymous, and then offshoots from that are Narcotics Anonymous, Cocaine Anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
Is the treatment method pathway for alcohol different?
and
No.
other substances.
No.
So they sort of go, so it could be residential and residential. You and I talked about gambling as well.
And
we've
we
had
did
a conversation
have a conversation about gambling.
Yeah. And gambling is actually listed as a separate on on your website.
Yes, it's considered a process addiction as opposed to a substance addiction because you're addicted to the process of gambling as opposed to something you're putting in your body.
It's funny because I had a few people come up to me and say, wow, this idea of a process addiction, they never thought of it because it's, I'm okay, go back and listen to my interview with Marnie about addiction, but it's so different from a substance use addiction. It was very interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, this coming week.
Yes.
What is happening with Casson
so
this coming
week? We
have
two different events this year. The first is a flag raising we'll be doing at noon in St. Catharines at City Hall. So the mayor is going to come out and a few other people, and we're going to be raising a flag for National Addiction Awareness Week. And then that evening, we are going to be doing an Ice Dogs game. So we have a block of tickets that you can order from. You can go on to our social media to get a QR code, and you literally just scan the code and order the tickets through there. So they are discounted by $6. So it makes the tickets, I believe they're $17 each. They are in the silver section, which means that we get to see the Ice Dogs in our end twice. and we will, they will be doing a little bit of awareness around National Addiction Awareness Week.
And is it also a fundraising opportunity? Can people donate to CASN there?
We don't fundraise. It's mostly awareness.
Awareness,
but
okay.
People can always donate through our website. We have an area there where you can go on and easily make a donation. And we do have people that donate that have been in our programs before, our family members. We do have people that donate on a regular basis and always appreciated.
Well, and we know that mental health is experienced by every single family, and I'm going to say every single person. And addiction affects so many families, and it can be so destructive. So we really appreciate the work that CASN does. Thanks, Marnie, for coming on and talking about this. I hope everybody spends some time this week thinking about the addiction and substance use issues that we have in Niagara, which, as I said at the beginning, are quite significant in terms of percentage of population across in Ontario. So I hope everybody spends some time thinking about that and maybe thinking about the people they may know who are struggling and then helping them get in touch with you.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. And it's really simple. There's no, you don't need any kind of a referral from a doctor or anyone. You literally just call up our number, 905-684-1183, also on our website, and they will put you in touch with all of those services that we just discussed.